We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show is on the air, and that was a craptastic performance. I don't know how else to put it. It was, and that was it. And the Bucks are still going to win the series. Don't panic over this, but boy, that was not good basketball last night. For Middleton, Bledsoe, and Giannis to have that kind of a night, a lot of one-on-one, a lot of out-of-control dribbling, a lot of unnecessary turnovers. Really cold shooting. I don't know how else to put it. And I know there's people out there just pissed off about the officiating, and I get it, okay? I mean, Giannis walked, let's be honest, okay? The Euro step, come on. You know, it is what it is. It's an excuse. It's another word that we make up so they can say, okay, they can travel. So we know what it is. We saw the double dribble. Yeah, that happened. You know, that didn't get called either, but you don't get it close enough to have the officials make that big of a difference. And by the way, I will agree with Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal after the ball game last night. That was a charge. That shouldn't have been Giannis' sixth foul, but they called it. It is what it is, so you move on. The one thing I will say that is becoming somewhat alarming is this team's propensity to get down early and have to battle back. They have done this pretty consistently, and they get away with it because they're that damn good. They're deep. But your starters need to come in and establish themselves. You're playing with the league MVP, and to constantly be playing from behind is becoming alarming. And the only reason I bring this up is because, look, they're going to win this series, and they're going to go on to face Golden State, and Golden State is going to kick their ass. Because Golden State shoots the lights out. They're quicker than you are, and they shoot like it's nothing. Like it's the same way when you and I breathe. They shoot like it's nothing. The top scoring team in the NBA this year. Bucks were second, but Golden State, and by the way, since Kevin Durant has gone down, they distribute the basketball better than they ever have. They pass it better than they ever have. It's almost like they force Kevin Durant to be a part of the offense at times. Golden State, they're relentless. Now, they can go cold or colder, but you can't fall behind continuously to Golden State and expect to walk away with a victory. So, look, they're going to beat Toronto. I'm not upset over this. Toronto gave you an unbelievable shot. You had a significantly, almost historically, when it comes to this particular history of franchise, bad shooting night, and you still went to double overtime. So there's a positive there. Budenholzer, if you saw his comments after the game when they went live in the locker room, and Budenholzer said, "Hey guys, keep your chins up. You didn't play great, and you went to double overtime. You still had a shot to win this thing. Hey, keep your head up. We're gonna win this thing. Don't worry about it." That's an unbelievable level of confidence, and I give him a lot of credit because he has been the stable rudder on a ship that could go careening out of control at any point in time with a little bit younger cast of characters. But he's been great. He's said and done all the right things. But this all comes to an ugly end if you can't correct some of the problems that you're starting to see get consistent. 855-830-8648. If you want to chime in, feel free to do it. 855-830-8648. Give us a shout. I'm Bill Michaels, Radio Joe across the way. If you want to find us over on Twitter, you can, @Bill_Michaels. You can also track us down on the Facebook fan page, which is a tremendous way to get a hold of us as well. Simply go to Facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. You can find that there. And other ways to get a hold of us, you can just simply go to BillMichaelsSports.com. That is BillMichaelsSports.com. That's on the website. And there's plenty of ways to find the links and be a part of the program. There's the radio.com app. So all of that being said, we are glad you were on board today. Bucks take it on the chin yesterday. They're back at it again tomorrow night. This portion of the program is brought to you by our friends at Cousin Subs. Hey, if you want to be a VIP, here's your chance. You can enter the Big Gig giveaway from Cousin Subs and Summerfest. There's 11 concerts and 11 nights at the Green American Family Insurance Amphitheater. And they can give you 11 chances to win. Each VIP concert package includes a couple of tickets, a parking pass, gift cards, and a whole lot more. 11 people are going to win this one-of-a-kind experience, and one of them could be you. So enter daily at CousinSubs.com/Big Gig Giveaway to experience your best Summerfest ever. That's from Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. Last night, Giannis, 5 of 16 from the field, 0 for 3 beyond the arc. Middleton, 3 of 16 from the field, 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. Bledsoe, 3 of 16, 1 of 6 from beyond the arc. They were 2 of 15 from 3 last night, between those three. 2 of 15. That's it. It was a terrible shooting night. Terrible. They're still going to rock the win. I'm not worried about it. But it was terrible. Terrible, ugly last night as the Bucks ended up falling to the Toronto Raptors. But do you feel the same? Are you kind of noticing some of the same concerning patterns? Or are you thinking to yourself, ah, you know what, deal with the next round once you get to the next round, otherwise don't worry about it. 855-830-8648. Corey says, bam, nail on the head. It's exactly what I've been telling my friends. This team is going to get to the finals, and then they are going to lay a giant egg because they are going to be schooled ugly out on the West Coast. There you have it. That's from Corey. Corey, appreciate the email. Adam writes in Wendy's email inbox, I think they will play Golden State different. I think Golden State will bring the best out of the Milwaukee Bucks because they will have to keep up. They will not be the favorite going in. Golden State has been the favorite since the beginning, and I believe the Bucks will then play better. That is from Adam. What makes you think then they'll just play better because? You know what I mean? At this point, is that what you rely upon? Is that they're just going to play better because. I don't think you can do that. Can they beat Golden State? Absolutely. I don't disagree with that. But are they going to, could this thing go seven? Sure. It probably more likely, I would say, if I had to pick it right now, the way the Bucks have been shooting the basketball overall, probably say, man, I don't know, Bucks go toe-to-toe with Golden State, maybe losing six. I could see them losing in five if they continue to shoot that way. So Bucks got to shoot better. And all this dribbling and one-on-one and out-of-control stuff, that's where turnovers are happening. And the problem is Boston didn't capitalize as much. Now you've got Toronto, and they've got a couple of shooters, and they're capitalizing. Bucks are going to come back and probably win Game 3, and they're probably going to win Game 3 going away. Game 4. And then they're going to come back to the Fiserv Forum, and they're going to win Game 5, and then they'll close this thing out. I still say Bucks in 5. But they're playing this way, they're not going to beat Golden State. They got to play better. They got to get back into what they do better because they're being defended better. They're being out-quicked and out-hustled right now, and they're getting the best shot from Toronto, and they're getting frustrated. And Giannis has got to be able to figure something out when it comes to going to the hoop. Dropping your shoulder and dribbling the basketball and getting it swatted away before you even get to the rim. Yes, he's getting to the free throw line, and teams are learning. Hey, just hack him. Because he's not going to be a terrific free throw shooter. I know some people are really upset that that Giannis is not shooting the ball from the line really well. Remember the old Hack-a-Shaq? That's what's starting to happen. Because they're just going to foul him and send him to the free throw line. Rather than giving him the ability to go up and slam one home and get a plus one, make him go to the line and earn it. Now, the other night, I think he went 9 of 11 or something like that and shot the ball really well. But last night, not as good. I mean, he has the propensity from the free throw line to not shoot the ball really well. I'd rather take my chances there than I would just having him have open lanes, which is what the teams are discovering. Giannis was 2 of 7 from the free throw line last night. 2 of 7. Now, he out-rebounded damn near everybody. 23 boards yesterday, 7 assists. So he is distributing the basketball. He's doing things correctly. But when it comes to the ability to score, Teams are just going to pound on him. They're just going to continue to pound him inside. Siakam last night, big game for him. 9 of 18 from the field, 2 of 5 beyond the 3. They got to the line 9 times last night. But Siakam all of a sudden showed up. He shot the lights out last night. We know Kawhi Leonard did. Lowry didn't have the same kind of game as he's had in the past, but 3 of 6 beyond the arc and 11 points, 5 assists. Boy, I tell you what, Gasol was all of that. They were giving him like he was carte blanche, like he was LeBron James. I thought he should have fouled out of that game a couple of times over, and he never did, but 16 points last night. But you get Powell to come off the bench and give you 19. I mean, that bench hasn't scored that totally since the beginning of the series, and he drops 19 on you last night. So it was a weird night. So I'm not overly concerned about it, but this thing where the Bucks get down early and have to come battling back, it's becoming habitual. Let's do this. We're going to go ahead and take a quick break, come back, take some of your phone calls, get your thoughts, 855-830-8648. Are some of the habits you're starting to discover regarding the Milwaukee Bucks becoming concerning? We've got more of the Bill Michael Show after this.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. The Bill Michaels Show honors Wisconsin veterans traveling on the Stars and Stripes honor flight. Coming up Memorial.
Welcome back. Not the best of performances for your Milwaukee Bucks, but that being said, it did take Toronto everything and the kitchen sink to beat them on a night in which the Bucks, at least for this team, shoot historically bad. So I'm not. That's why I'm not like in full fledged panic. Some of you like just were flying. Now look, I'll admit, because I know emotions run high, and some of you were flying up and down. Last night there was a little bit of screaming going on at the television. I have to admit. I was watching that game and you just knew it. It was kind of like you could call it as it was happening. You know, I knew Middleton was going to try to dribble drive. I saw it coming. They've been collapsing 2 and 3 guys on him, and I knew he was going to turn around and throw it away. And sure enough, it happened. I knew Giannis was going to lower the shoulder like he does, going to do that really high dribble on the opposite side. It was going to get swatted away, turnover, like it's been happening. Or he was going to go up, and they were going to just grab his arms. He's not going anywhere near the rim. They're going to stick him at the line. Happened all the time, you know? Bledsoe shooting from the outside. It's kind of like, who was the Brewers reliever that you just knew? He'd come in and throw 3 or 4 pitches. Derek Turnbow would come in. He'd throw 3 or 4 pitches. Turnbow was either just lights out with this big breaking slider that came in at about 88, 89 miles an hour, and then he hit you with some heat of 95, 96, whatever. He'd come in and just throw some wild stuff, and if it was over the plate and guys were just kind of thrashing at it, you knew he was on. But if he came in and threw 2 or 3 balls, you knew the next one was a fat fastball right down the middle that was leaving the ballpark. That's the way you just know. Bledsoe's the same way. He's either hitting or he's not. And when he's not, he should never take a shot. Never take a shot. It's just as simple as that. Continually distribute the basketball. Some of the guys that have been carrying you, George Hill, Malcolm Brogdon, Brooke Lopez, get them the ball, get them more involved. It is what it is. But you can just tell. You can see it happening before your very eyes. And then your frustration as a fan begins to mount, and then you start screaming stuff, and all of a sudden people are tweeting stuff at the end of the game. It's like, just slow your roll. Let's look at it in the big picture. Bucks got beat by a decent team, second-best team in the NBA when it came to a record. But in the long run, they played historically and shot historically bad. So it is what it is. Joe, did you enjoy that game last night?
What kind of question is that?
That sucked.
Did I enjoy
that
it?
That sucked.
Get out of here, man.
I was upset, but I was by the end of the game, I was kind of like, okay, Bucks will come back and win the next one. I'm not worried about it.
Well, I mean, this is my thing. That Bucks game, I mean, I can't remember the last time I had that much anxiety watching a Bucks game. Like, I didn't have that at all this season. Obviously, haven't had it in the playoffs. Didn't have it in the regular season because the Bucks were winning literally everything. I mean, you got to go back last year to the playoffs when the Bucks were dealing with Boston. And at the time, the Bucks were kind of in a situation where they could have beaten Boston if they really wanted to. They had their stars, Boston didn't. and he still couldn't get it done. And that was a matchup everyone wanted in this city. They all wanted Boston. So there was a lot of anxiety throughout the course of that. But last night's game, I thought, was comical in the sense that it took Toronto essentially five full quarters, so four quarters plus two overtimes, to beat the Milwaukee Bucks. The Raptors had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to pull away in that game when they had about a 7 to 8 point lead, and they just couldn't close out the Bucks. The Bucks kept coming after them. It kind of reminded me of, you ever seen the movie Casino, Bill?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I have. Yes,
okay.
I have.
All right. There's a clip in there, and maybe we can find this, but there is a clip where Robert De Niro's character is talking about Joe Pesci's character, and Joe Pesci plays this guy by the name of Nicky Santoro, who's just out of control. He's like, he's 10 times worse than the Joe Pesci was in Goodfellas. So if you follow mob movies, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's a clip in that movie where De Niro is talking about Pesci and how tough he is. And it's like, well, if you come at him with a bat, he's going to come back at you with a gun. And if you come back at him with a gun, it's like there is no way to stop Joe Pesci's character, just like it's the same way with the Milwaukee Bucks. And even though the Bucks were terrible last night offensively, and believe me, I'm pissed off with Middleton and Bledsoe, those guys need to step it up. Their performances last night, as I like to say, was unacceptable. That needs to change. Middleton right now, I'm not paying him max money for crap like that. Eric Bledsoe needs to find a better way to get to the basket, make free throws.
He needs to stop shooting from the outside. His game, he is at his best when he's driving the basket.
Right. But see, you could see it last night. Toronto was baiting Eric Bledsoe to take threes. Toronto wanted Eric Bledsoe to get to the line.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't... I don't know what happened to the great Eric Bledsoe we all saw during the regular season. It's like that guy has completely disappeared. But going back to the bigger picture of this game last night, the Bucks just continue to hang in there. I mean, Pascal Siakam had a chance to close them out right at the end there, and he missed both free throws, and that opened up the door for the Bucks.
Yeah, that win saved him from a lot of humiliation in that city.
Yeah, I just think, you know, the fact that it took the Raptors that long to beat a team like Milwaukee just goes to show that the Raptors are not going to be able to beat this team three more times. They're just not. It's got to take so much for the Raptors to allow the Bucks to shoot that bad and then be able to come away with a victory. They don't have enough horses to get it done. So here's the clip from the great movie Casino, a Martin Scorsese classic. This is exactly what I'm talking about. The Bucks are just like Joe Pesci.
No matter how big a guy might be, Nicky would take him on. You beat Nicky with fists, he comes back with a bat. You beat him with a knife, he comes back with a gun. And if you beat him with a gun, you better kill him, because he'll keep coming back and back until one of you is dead.
That's exactly what the Milwaukee Bucks are, because Bill, Giannis, I think, is going to come out with a vengeance tomorrow
night. Oh, I think so, too.
With a vengeance.
But Giannis, here's the thing. Giannis can't do it by himself, and they have figured it out. They're going to hack the hell out of him, and he's going to have to win that game from the line. He's not going to win that game from the field, so he's going to have to win the game from the line. And it goes because people say, well, I can't believe he doesn't make 80% of his free. Well, look, most big men don't. There's very few big men in this league that have played in the league ever that make over 75% of their free throws. It's very rare. He had an off night. He has had good nights. He's had bad nights. But he's not a consistent free throw shooter. And teams are learning, just put him at the line. You got a much better shot at Giannis going to the line than Giannis going up, slamming one home. You hang onto his shorts. You get called for a foul. And then he actually hits a free throw. And then all of a sudden he's hitting threes as opposed to just earning one for ones at the line. And that's the way they're getting it done right now. And then they're telling everybody else, well, you go ahead and shoot, because we're going to take care of Giannis on the inside. So Bledsoe, go ahead and shoot from the outside. Middleton, you're sporadic at best. Go ahead and hit from the outside. You try that. Go ahead and dribble drive a few times. We'll slap it away from you. They're playing better defense right now. And the Bucks are falling victim to that. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Tom listening to us in West Dallas. Tom, welcome to the program. What's going on, man?
Well, you stole my thunder there, Bill. I was going to say that if they would have made all the free throws, they would have won that game. And the other thing that I want to know on an update, right, about all the shooting, the way the Bucks did, was Kawhi Leonard. He was limping because I watched it on replay. Any update on his injury?
No, I appreciate the phone call. As a matter of fact, they were talking about that last night after the game. They were asked about it, and they said, well, when it came to crunch time, he played extremely well, but when it came to his lateral movement, defensively speaking, he wasn't the same, you know, fleet-footed guy. Now, the adjustment they made was putting Leonard on Giannis, and he defended Giannis really well. I mean, obviously Giannis ran into him, and they banged knees together, and his knee was probably a little bit more messed up than Giannis's was. But Kawhi Leonard played pretty solid defense on Giannis last night. Overall, and I wonder if they're going to go ahead. I would assume they're going to go ahead and do that again coming up in game four tomorrow night. But now you got to wait and see today how sore that knee is. Now, he ended up, actually, he banged knees with Giannis, but then he went to the other end and had that layup. And when he came, when he landed awkwardly after that layup, when they had that breakaway, and he kind of, I don't want to say he hyperextended it because you didn't see it move that much, but he kind of came straight-legged down. And may have just kind of, I don't want to guess, it jammed it, banged it, whatever. I mean, I don't know, whatever you want to call it.
Twerked it.
I don't know. But he just wasn't right after that. And I know they made a mention of it in the broadcast, but they had said that, yeah, you know, he just didn't look right. And sure enough, when you went to the other end of the court, and you just kind of paid attention, kind of had your eyes focused on him, his lateral movement wasn't great. But when he got the basketball and needed to come up big, he did. So Kawhi Leonard, you have to kind of pay attention to that injury as the remaining series kind of plays out. 855-830-8648. But like I said, the Bucks are going to win this series. But I'm more concerned about some of the patterns that I'm seeing that are consistent. Falling behind, expelling a lot of energy trying to come back, the relying on the bench. When your starters are supposed to be the establishment guys, you know, I mean, things like that. That's the kind of thing that's starting to bother me a little bit, because when you play Golden State, they'll just drill you into submission. Let's go to Terrell on the north side. Terrell, welcome to the program, the Bill Michael Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, how you doing, young?
What's happening?
I'm not worried at all. I look at it like I never thought they were going to sweep this series anyway. I thought it was going to be a five-game series. I still believe it's going to be a five-game series. I think they panic anytime they see their team lose or in the fashion that they lose. But with Giannis having an off night, and I think that came from the tinkering. I think Nurse actually did pretty good with having Kawhi be in front of Giannis and then still playing the double teaming to get the ball out of his hand. And I think it was something new that Giannis didn't see the first two games of the series. And, you know, he had an off night. But watching the Bucks all this year and seeing how they continue to do things on a regular basis, they are going to bounce back in this game, which what I would think. And Giannis will have a better game than he had this game, and they're going to win. Like I said before, when you get your starting three players in your starting lineup, 12 points, 9 points, and 11 points out of your three main players, and you still go into double overtime in the game, that's not too good for Toronto. I mean, pat on the back, you gotta win at home, but the Bucks are going to win game four, and they're going to go home with the chance to close out Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to do it. They've been doing it all playoffs, been playing the same all year. And they're a team. I mean, people were talking about how, you know, Giannis didn't score, you're giving points to your production from your bench. You've been doing that all year. You have a litany of guys that have shown up in different spots and different times for this team, and that's not going to change regardless of who they play. So, I mean, it's a good headline for Toronto. They got a win and double overtime game, and Giannis was shut down pretty good, you know, as some people are saying. But Tuesday night they'll be talking about Giannis is one of the best players in the league again, and the Milwaukee Bucks will have a 3-1 lead going home with a chance to close the series.
Does falling behind early concern you, because it's become almost a pattern for this team?
I think we really only see that in the first game in a series, because usually the Bucks, because the way they played, have had a week off, so they're usually rusty. So we've seen that game one, and we also seen that the first game in Toronto, because I think Toronto's probably the best team that they've played up to so far. So when you play the best team that you've played in the playoffs so far, most of the time they're going to defend their home court. I mean, they should. So we're not going to just, you know, steamroll everybody. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, if you win a series 4-1, it still was a steamroll, but it just puts a little bit of makeup on the team that you played, that they, you know, they were a pretty good team this year. And I think that's what's going to happen. It doesn't concern me as much. You know, when they get long layoffs, Bill, they struggle.
Yeah.
They did it in the Boston series, and they got hammered that first game. Then they woke up, and they won four straight. And they did it again right here. The first game on the road, Toronto came with what they needed to do, the players they needed to get production from, Gasol, Siakam, all those guys. They showed up, and they played with that energy from the home crowd. But like I said, I love having Giannis as my superstar. What he does when he's coming off a bad game or something that he thought he should have did that he didn't get done. He's shown that for years now, and I know that he will bounce back and have a great game, and the team will take his lead. And that's why I think they're going to win game four.
Good stuff. Appreciate it, Terrell. Talk to you soon, pal. He drops off. Yeah. You get on board, 855-830-8648. Going to take a quick break. We got a lot more to get to. If you want to chime in, talking some Bucks basketball, Bucks take it on the chin tomorrow night. They're back at it. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back. We are back. This portion of the program being brought to you by our friends at Neumel Medical. And at some point, we know spring will fully be in the air. And the old saying is that, love is in the air. Unless, of course, you're suffering from the ED, the erectile dysfunction. Good news, guys. Listen up. The medical experts over at the Neumel Medical Center, they're helping guys just like you throughout the state and beyond the borders put the ED behind them. They have a 98% success rate. And, hey, if you're feeling kind of tired, sluggish, irritable, moody, no stamina, no energy, they can help you out with the low T treatment. Just go in if you're over the age of 30, go get your numbers checked. Then just set up a consultation. You're good to go. Or the all-in-one weight loss program. It works, but you can't do anything unless you call 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. That is the Neumel Medical Center. We now head north of the border to Canada in Toronto, where our own Chuck Freeman from 105.7 FM, The Fan, the morning show, stands by. Chuck, how you doing?
Doing all right, Michaels. It's a holiday up here in Canada.
It's Victoria Day or something like that, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know much about it, but it's kind of like their Memorial Day, I guess.
Okay.
I don't see anybody out on the streets, so I guess it's like our, you know, it was like how next week it's going to be for us.
Sure.
Sunday night was for them last night. You know,
all right.
It was people were out and about doing stuff.
Okay, well, Victoria Day or whatever that happens to be in Canada. Well, enjoy it, I guess. Hopefully a couple of good restaurants and bars are open.
You know, I'm right out here by the airport, and I don't see a damn thing out here. I was looking to get to the eat later, and I'm like, man, all I see is hotels in the airport. Where do they eat out here? Start. Yeah.
So last night, look, I can only imagine that you were probably upstairs as frustrated as anybody else watching it at home. The difference is you couldn't scream profanities the way the rest of us probably could. But this was a craptastic performance by the Milwaukee Bucks, and they still went to double overtime, and that's what I can take away from this game.
Yeah, how about that? You had horrible performances from a number of guys, namely your star player, the league MVP, Giannis Antetokounmpo. 5 of 16 shooting. Eric Bledsoe, 3 of 16. Chris Middleton, 3 of 16. Nikola Mirotic, 3 of 11. And yet you were still in this ball game. How the hell did they ever take a 2-point lead in the overtime with that many poor performances on the team? And you know, you had a couple of guys for them playing really well. Powell was playing well off the bench. Siakam did really well, and Leonard, both offensively and his defensive work on Giannis last night. So. 20 turnovers by the Bucks. You throw that in the mix, and many things went wrong for the Bucks. Yet still, you were right there, kind of like game one, where you didn't play your best basketball, and you still won by 8, only this time they lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I became frustrated. Bledsoe's games on the inside, when he's driving and dishing, that's when he's at his best, and it does open up the outside game. Last night, he struggled. Middleton obviously struggled, and you can almost get it predictable down the stretch when they were going to do the one-on-one, the dribble drive. They dribble out of control, lose the basketball. Turnovers were vital. As George Karl used to say, you don't value the possession. And then we saw, obviously, the Bucks fall, and Siakam, although he did give them life, he came up big down the stretch. So, I guess, look, this is where I turn the page and I say, the Bucks are going to win, you know, game four. They should then come back home and be able to close things out. But the pattern that is emerging that is bothersome to me is they continually, when the starters are in at the beginning of a game, they continue to fall behind. And they do it more often than not. And against a team like Golden State, they will make you pay. You cannot continually do this.
Well, you don't want that 9 and 11-point deficit to turn into 17, 18, 19, 23.
Right.
You know, I always say, you know, that first quarter, you just kind of play it through. And if you're down by 11, okay. You know, you don't want to be down by 11, but, you know, you don't want to make it any worse. You don't want to be down by 25. And because there comes a point where you just can't bear, especially against a good team like Golden State or Toronto, you just can't dig yourself out. But the Bucks never got worse than 11 last night, and they stayed with it, stayed with it. They kept plugging away. You know, they'd be down by 7, 8. They'd make a run, get to within 3 or 2, but they could never tie that game up or take the lead. They had two leads in this game, Bill. They had the lead 2-0 to start the game, and they had a lead in the opening couple of seconds of the second overtime. How bizarre. You could play these two teams 1,000 times. You will never see the outcome quite like anything close what happened last night, where it went to double overtime. The Bucks only had a couple leads in this game, yet still took it to overtime, turned the ball over as many times as they did, had their stars play poorly, yet almost won the game.
Last night in the locker room, what was it like? I know that Giannis didn't really want to speak to the media, which kind of bothers me. I know people are kind of giving him the pass, saying, well, he was devastated by the loss. I get it, but you can't. I've always said it. It doesn't matter who it is. You can't stand up there and accept the adulation and then not want to talk to anybody after you have an ugly loss, specifically when you don't perform well.
Yeah, Bill, he did talk. He did talk. It just took a little longer. He after the game, there was probably about 40 of us right in front of his locker, and Bill, he usually doesn't talk to the media until after, and I'm with you on that too. You know, hey, it's one thing to be talking when you win a game, but you better be talking in the same way if you lose. And Giannis isn't that way. Giannis, you know, took a shower, came back, so it was about 40 minutes later. Did he make us wait a little bit? Yeah, he did. But that's what Giannis does. You know, it takes him a while. But Giannis had a blank stare in front of his locker, just staring. He had both his feet in ice buckets. He had both of his knees wrapped up, as is always the case after games. And I've seen him many times with that. But I have not seen him with quite the stare that he had on his face last night after the game. Because most of the time we see him after games this year, he's won. But he had this blank stare, and people are looking at him, and he's just staring out in space. And it was just an odd scene. And then, before you know it, he woke out of his blankness and took the bandages off, got up, walked into the shower room, and then we waited for Giannis to come back, dry himself off, get himself dressed, finally turned around, boom, talk. But he did talk. It just took him a little bit to get going.
Yeah, I looked at that team last night, and I thought, boy, I would have loved to have seen George Hill and Brogdon in there a little bit more. I know they were trying to get Bledsoe back into the game, and I get it, because Budenholzer, look, I don't know if you saw the drop-in, but TNT had a microphone and a camera in the locker room right after the game, and Budenholzer comes in and says, hey, guys, don't worry about this. You just went double overtime, and you didn't play great. I mean, it was like a historically bad night, and we still went to double overtime. You're going to get this. Don't worry about it. We'll see you tomorrow, that kind of thing, which I thought was really positive. That's pretty much been his, you know, modus operandi all season long, is just stay positive, let it fly, we're going to be good, don't worry. I think he knows the talent on his team, and the Bucks are going to win the series. I just am a little bit concerned about the patterns that are beginning to emerge with this team.
Yeah, falling into the hole, and Budenholzer has done that this season, where they've played a bad game. He's come out and said, you know what, we're just going to throw this, we're just going to burn the tape, as he would say, and move on to the next game.
Yeah. Nothing really we can do. That was kind of what he said last night. We're just going to move on.
There's nothing he can do. They played such a horrible game.
Yeah.
And I saw people on Twitter, hey, you know, he needs to light a fire under these guys. It's not what they need. It wasn't a matter of lighting a fire. What are you going to do? A light of fire is going to make Bledsoe shoot better. Lighting fire is going to make Middleton shoot better. Make Giannis make better decisions as far as shooting or break through that defensive wall. At some point, you got to give the Raptors credit. They did a nice job defensively. And when the Raptors are making their shots, or any opponent makes their shots, Giannis can't get going in the transition game. You know, he can't go the other way. He can't go the other way against that defense.
Mm-hmm.
And that happened last night. They were making shots, and Giannis could not. You know, how many transition baskets did he have? He probably could count on one hand. Well, he could count on one hand the number of baskets he made, because there were very few. There were five of them. So, and very few in transition. So, It all starts on the defensive end with the Bucks. As many good basketball teams will say, it starts on the defensive end, Bill. They got to get the defense going.
Well, was it me or did it look the same in person to you? It looked like Toronto was just quicker at times than what the Bucks were. I mean, the Bucks, they dribbled out of control a lot of the time, and when it came to the defensive end, they didn't start a lot because Toronto was just quicker and passed the basketball better than what the Bucks did.
Great ball movement. This is the first time this year that the first time in the series that Toronto has moved the ball well on the perimeter. Boom, 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 boom. Like the Bucks usually do. Distribute the ball. You know, to quote George Carl there, you did a while ago, and I'll get another one. George always said, hey, be unselfish with the basketball. Be unselfish with value possession. Be unselfish with the basketball. And that's what Toronto was. They were working around, getting good shots, whether it was Siakam or Powell from the corner three, Gasol, Leonard. A lot of players played really well for Toronto last night. I think redemption is in order for Game 4, Bill. You won't see as many Bucks players play as poor, and I don't think you'll see Siakam and even Paul Gasol or Powell play as well as they did on Sunday night.
Yep. Good stuff as always, Chucker. Enjoy Toronto. Find something to eat. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
All right, Bill. Talk to you tomorrow.
All right, buddy. See ya. He drops off, and if you want to chime in, we're going to still discuss this. By the way, our best Bucks coverage. It's presented by our friends at Hupie and Abraham. If you're injured, call Hupie and Abraham. Voted best, rated best year after year. Visit Hupie.com today. Also by Robert Hack Diamonds, which right now, before May 25th, whatever you go in and you buy, if the Bucks win the championship, if the Milwaukee basketball team wins the championship, your jewelry is free. Also by our friends at the Q Club of Wisconsin, and they have televisions everywhere. If you're going to go there and watch the rest of the playoff action and the championship action, check it out at Q Club of Wisconsin, and by our good friends the Heat and Frost Insulators as well. Going to go ahead and take a quick break. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
If my friends ask where you are, I'm gonna say.
Welcome back, Bill Michaels Show. We are on the air. We are glad to enjoy you. I say that kind of weirdly, but we're glad you're kind of sharing in our frustration, as many of you have chimed in. Brewers and Braves over the weekend. Brewers lose 2 out of 3 to the Braves. Now they come back home. A quick 2-game turnaround with the Cincinnati Reds, who are in town tomorrow. Tomorrow, and then from there it goes on. But the Bucks, they continue to be the hottest topic that's going right now, specifically in this area, our region, if you will, in the network. And Bucks basketball getting bigger, 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 and better. And everybody's kind of looking forward to this thing finally culminating. And it will. Look, the Bucks are going to win this series. The Bucks are going to the NBA Finals. It's not over, okay? I'm not sitting here saying don't worry, because Toronto's still a good basketball team, and if the Bucks play like they played last night over and over and over again, they'll lose it. But the Bucks are a better team than that. They'll bounce back. They'll win this thing. I don't have any doubt about that. But what concerns me is you get to that doorstep, and I've already got people saying, well, Golden State's been there. They're going for the three-peat. They've won 3 out of their last 4. They know how to win. They're a good team. They shoot really well. The Bucks, you know, you're already making excuses for failure. You don't get to this point that often. When was the last time the Bucks were in the finals? Go back to the early 70s? So don't start making excuses now if you're a Bucks fan as to say, hey, we'll get there next year. This was a great first step. Shut up. You're on the doorstep. All you got to do is figure out how to close it out. Now, Coach Bud's, he's got to do a better job. The players have to do a better job. Hell, the training staff has to do a better job. Maybe the chef has to do a better job. I don't know. But you can't just sit there and say, well, we got this far. This is great. It's great. It's enthusiastic. But no. You're here now. There is no tomorrow. Don't make excuses. 855-830-8648. Let's go to Jose in Milwaukee. Jose, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to see what you guys thought about this. I think some blame has to go on the coach as well, because Coach Bud, I don't know why, when Middleton fouled out in that overtime, why didn't he just go to his bench? We talk about Milwaukee having such a deep bench. Why didn't he put in Tony Snell to guard Kawhi Leonard? Because Kawhi kept eating up Brogdon in the post, and that's just my thoughts. He could have spread the floor, you know, maybe shoot some open threes, especially with Bledsoe being so cold.
I don't know why he didn't just keep look. Coach Budenholzer has done this all season long, where somebody goes cold, he doesn't pull him out and bury him on the bench. He brings him back in and says, "Go get it." Okay. I can appreciate that, and maybe he knew this one was going to get away from them. Okay, but.
Bill, the issue I had last night with Budenholzer.
You got to stick the hot hands back in there in the game that you have a chance to steal.
Eric Bledsoe had no business playing in the final minutes of the fourth quarter.
No, he didn't.
I was shocked to see Bledsoe come back out on the floor and you pulled out George Hill, who was your hottest shooter off the bench. There was no reason. And look, I understand Mike Budenholzer and Eric Bledsoe are best buddies. They have really bonded over the last year. But Budenholzer should have just said, look, I got to have the hot hands out there right now. George Hill has the experience. Hill should have been in there throughout those final minutes of the fourth quarter. That was a stupid decision by Budenholzer.
855-830-8648. Bucks fans, are you frustrated and concerned about some of the patterns this team is starting to acquire? Or are you like me saying, you know what, they're going to win it, but if they don't start to pick it up, Golden State's going to kick the hell out of them. More of the Bill Michael Show after this.
Stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.